Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
That's the closest to any type of skiing. You've got Wisp, which is all ice. So that doesn't really work.
Lice.
What, like head lice?
All ice. Ice. Like ice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like you're on a layer of ice.
I didn't know if they had some sort of outbreak there.
Well, everyone was sharing the same stocking caps.
Massanutten is not. Whitetail is not. None of these places that are
close to
BC. Ski Liberty. They're hills. They're hills.
When he rubbed his magic empanada, the penny dog appeared. And the penny dog would grant three wishes.
All the time spent alone drives him insane. The boy on Penny Dog Lane.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Just frazzled today. Just frazzled. Frazzled.
Why?
Just
frazzled.
Just running back and forth and back and forth.
And I was telling Carla last night that this house that I live in up here, when I walk around, I'm like a ballerina because I'm avoiding furniture all the time because it's teeny and everything's jammed in. And,
yeah. You it's like a spider house.
And we had us a gang, and so we've got a table that has a leaf in it down in the kitchen, and we kind of spread out the table all the way like into the main room, and we haven't put it back together yet. In fact, we haven't done a lot. The balloons are not taken down from my young son's birthday.
I say, why rush it? I mean, balloons make things fun.
Yeah, and balloons traditionally are left up. There's no the idea of just taking everything off before the balloons lose helium and they all fall to the ground.
These were not helium balloons. These were hand-blown.
Oh.
Hand-blown, by the way, which was a really, that's the way we used to advertise dorms in at American University.
That's not how you did it.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, come on. What's wrong with me?
A lot of distance learning there this time.
Sure. Yep. Why didn't I print that out?
Old American
sorry,
University.
Just talk amongst yourselves.
How are they going to lose it, Mike? How are they going to lose
Maddie,
it?
Hey, Maddie. Can you imagine a fully virtual semester?
No, I would have been so pissed off. The whole point of college is to go out and party.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know how you're going to do that. That's just depressing. I feel so bad for them.
Let's go to the Zoom happy hour at Maggie's.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it, imagine? Baby. Yes,
Maggie's the home of the hand-blown balloons.
Yes.
Hand-blown balloons.
I'm asking,
by the way,
I'm
that makes you dizzy. That makes you dizzy when you do it. We had a great party, by the way. I didn't talk a lot about it.
It was a great party.
It was a great party, and, you know, it was nice. He got his gammy sent him a battleship. He got a ghillie suit. He got a World War One suit. He got, what else?
A canister of mustard gas. It was a great party.
He got fake grenades. We went all in. You know what? I might as well talk about this at the beginning of the show. Because I've had it on my show prep for a couple of days now.
Okay, fake grenades.
Should I be worried at this military obsession? I know. I played Army when I was a boy.
He's following in his father's footsteps. He sees you watching these docs.
Right, and reading.
He's like, this must be important. And history is important. This is quite the departure, though, from, I would say, three-year-old Mike. Not allowed to be... like playing with guns to
evolved.
Don't forget your grenades because
I'm asking you honestly about whether or not this is I don't think it's an obsession. I think, like, for example, he had his buddy Colton come over yesterday. They're both in his military uniforms that he got. He got like a
You were gonna say they're both in the militia.
No, they're both in the, and they're going out you back and they're playing, they're running around the yard and they're playing
like,
Army.
You have, think about it. Think about, like, from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
You have a friend who's a colonel that comes and stays with you guys. Mm-hmm. You love World War II history. Like, you're history buff when it comes to that. You enjoy educating your son about the facts. Like, no, they weren't Nazis yet, Michael, but they were still bad during that time.
During,
like,
World War One.
So,
that's right.
Like, this is
point.
You're fostering
point,
all
please.
Of this.
Man. I'm fostering the obsession with the military.
Subconsciously, yes.
Well, I say even outside of that.
I didn't expect that. That's a
even outside of that. When I was growing up,
I didn't expect that one. That might be right. That might be true.
But even if you don't, if you take that as an outlier, when I was growing up, I was not allowed to have toy guns. It just wasn't what we did. And even then.
Now you're making me want to go out and get him a howitzer.
Sure.
But you didn't like to run anyways.
Well, no, but I'm saying that when we played, you know, army or whatever, you find a stick that looked like a gun and you pretended it was a gun.
Spiewak, you stay in the foxhole.
Yeah,
we'll come back
the thing
for
is,
you.
I may
Spiewak,
be interested,
you're the cook.
I'm interested in world history, but I mean, I don't obsess. I'm not like Tony Soprano, where the only thing I watch is the History Channel and watch World War II about
how,
Hitler.
I'll be honest
with you, I've read two books out of the last three books I've read. Two of them have involved. You know, the bad people in World
War
II.
But he also sees your esteem and respect for the colonel. He doesn't know, you know, what the
colonel... Oh, he called him colonel, too,
yeah,
which was wonderful.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, why wouldn't
that
you buy...
So really? That's cool.
Yeah.
You would buy into all of that, which is great, which is fine. By the way, not a bad thing overall. But if you're wondering where it comes from, where it stems from, how does he know which tanks are which tanks?
Well, I tell him.
Okay.
But he asked me. He said, what kind of tank is this? It's a Sherman tank. So what's that? It's Panzer. So what... They were better than the Sherman tanks because they had thicker armor, but I think you could do damage to them underneath. He's asking the questions. What ship is that? That's a destroyer. What ship is that? It's a battleship. You got a toy battleship, and we're going to play with it in the pond.
All kids
we can find
love
a pond. Hi, Linus.
He's ready to go out. Look at him.
Linus, his coloring is different in that light.
Yeah.
He looks like a blonde dog.
The lighting is different because we've started a half hour early. It'll change. He'll look normal at about 9:15. The kids' fascination with the army and also police, I think it's because we instill authority into children to respect authority. And I think a lot of kids love the army. They love to play army. I think that Michael is a curious and intelligent kid. That takes it to the next level. But the basis of liking the army, that's just kids being kids, I think.
Well, just quickly, if you don't mind, and we'll pad for you.
Pad for a second.
Yeah,
I need to
he's turtling.
Out.
He's got
yeah,
to go.
I know.
Yeah, well, you don't want him to drop a Duke right on your floor. Oh, there you go. No need to wear shoes during the show. No need to wear shoes. God.
Yeah. He's going to go sniff around and eat some plants.
You put proper footwear on, you'll focus on the show.
How about you focus on me not wearing proper footwear, and then everything will be fine.
There you are with those
so
big, massive, like, those Elaine Boozler feet of yours that you have.
Wow. Good reference, but appreciate
it. You've got Fred Flintstone feet. Like, they're
always have feet that are just so...
I mean, well, if I didn't, I'd fall down. Look what they have to support.
Do you have shoes anywhere near you right now?
I've got my Birks down here. Yeah.
Where are they?
Hold on. They're over here.
I just like the tour of people's homes yesterday so much with Mac that I'm craving more of it right now. There they are.
Oh, look at those.
Those sweet. Four put upon. Those
sweet.
Those
good boy.
He's back. He's like, get back. All right. Here
feet.
We go. There
look at those feet. Look at those feet.
Now he gets a treat.
Oh, yes.
Linus, come here.
What
come
do
here,
you
buddy.
Get? Look. Dr. Scholl's foot powder.
Come on, buddy. Good boy.
Oh, look at that.
So
he got
sweet.
On his back feet there.
That's good
by
boy.
The way, for those of you that keep track of our hounds, I'm in love with Winslow. Love him, love him.
So you have total turn on him. Total turn.
Oh, you can't not. He's not. His personality is too significant. You just can't ignore it. He's just.
What about your damp mattress?
The damp mattress. We crate him at night, and
okay.
He's right next to Carla, so he's fine as wine. He might whine a little bit in the morning, but she takes him out in the middle of the night when he has to go, like a little baby. Mm-hmm. And I took him out this morning, and he.
So the crate's in the bedroom.
The crate is in the bedroom,
that's
yeah.
Sweet.
And
that is
we
nice.
Move it from downstairs, because we crate him a lot. If we go out of the house, we
got
crate
to.
Him because he's still a puppy, but he's very lovable. But getting back to my kid, so the question is, I don't, be, instead of placing the blame on where, you know, who instilled this, and I'm not going to dispute that I might be influencing my son, should I be concerned about all this military stuff? Like the first question today was, Dad, when was the Civil War? And I said it was in the 1800s.
That's a heavy, you said I was
question.
Very young then, son, so yeah. I don't remember. It was cold. We remember that.
Did you say it's history, not hate?
That's right.
I'm just trying to discern from perhaps Mike, you morons whether or not this obsession is an unhealthy
record.
Thing, or I should just let it pass, knowing that it will pass. I don't. Here's what I don't want. This is no disrespect on our armed forces. I truly believe that without our men in uniform and our women in uniform, we would have a tough time, because there are a lot of bad actors on the international stage. However, I personally would not want to see my son go into the military, because, of course, I want him to be safe. So that's kind of the way I look at it. But if he did that, that would be okay too. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, Mike, I think this is what you should be worried about, and I defer to the parents in the audience.
I'm going to electrocute my hand now. Right?
Why?
Please do. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think that you, and I'm not going to speak for you, but I think what you probably meant to say is that you don't want to foster an unhealthy relationship with what is just playing, but could be perceived as violence, right?
Well, yes.
And that's what it comes down to.
That's fine.
The idea that he would serve his country would make anyone proud, would make me proud if I had children, and that's the path they chose to take.
Absolutely.
What I would say is that all busting balls aside, you are to blame, and I don't think it's fostering an attitude of like, a laissez-faire, violence, guns, grenades. No, this is what kids are into. I remember I had a little militia running through the Penny Dog Lane townhouse complex when
the Penny Dog Lane.
That's where I used to live as a kid.
Penny Dog Lane.
Penny Dog Lane. Yes, you can't make that up.
Rob, can you find some children's music? Music box music you have somewhere.
Imagine, Mike, two Haitian fraternal twins and a Bolivian kid and two white kids running through bushes in a townhouse complex with a bazooka, what looked like a bazooka, and a bunch of Uzis that were water guns. They were all black and gray, so they looked like you had the real weapons, and you'd run around this neighborhood all summer long.
He has a key around his neck. No one knows that he feels pain, the little Bolivian boy on Penny Dog Lane.
You see, Mike, I had it in a different thought. I thought that perhaps when he rubbed his magic empanada, the Penny Dog appeared. And the Penny Dog would grant three wishes.
All the time spent alone drives him insane. The boy on Penny Dog Lane. Oh my God. That name, Penny Dog Lane.
Penny Dog.
Penny Dog Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You grew up on Penny Dog Lane?
On Penny Dog Lane.
Was Penny Dog one word or two words?
It was two words.
Penny Dog Lane.
Mine is as vanilla as it gets, the street I grew up on. Evergreen Lane.
That's sweet. Oh. I take that.
Well, where did you grow up, Rob? I had two. One is the lamest of all. Park Road.
Park Road.
Duh.
That's very dumb. Well, that's, you know.
Park. Park. And then in Vienna, when we went brown to the brown district of Vienna, it was Glengyle Drive.
Mm. In Mosby's
Landing.
They're the manufactured names
Virginia. It just occurred to me that Mosby's Landing is probably going to have to change the name of everything, because the entire thing was named after Civil War heroes.
It will.
The model of our townhouse was the Stonewall. I remember
that.
Oh,
got it.
So that's no good. That's not Penny
probably,
Dog.
Probably not on the high list of priorities to change like those little interior neighborhood street names, right? Not at the moment.
I think it's huge because, you know, it's very important when you really are walking the boundary between Oak in Vienna.
Welcome to Mosby Circle. Over here we have the stone wall. This is the stone wall model. If you check over here to the right, this is the plantation model that we have right here. And if you want the smaller house, we're going to take you down. These are the quarters. The quarters are not the bigger houses that we have here. I think, by the way, this is all completely legit. It's the absurdity of it when you really think about it. The absurdity of naming things
honoring
after
things, yes.
People that fought for slavery is a little, and anybody that would bitch about that, well, it's been around forever. Okay, well, why don't you go back over and move into Hitler Acres then and and enjoy your time over there? It's the same goddamn thing.
It is. Hitler Acres was the worst neighborhood.
Isn't it amazing? The This is what made the Civil War, which my son asked me about this morning, so whacked that after the war was over, there was this kind of, well, we killed your brother and your sister and your cousin, and we're real sorry about that, but to commiserate with you, we're going to call this Robert E. Lee Road.
Exactly.
Right over here, Robert E. Lee, even though you fought for the Confederacy. Thank you.
If you're looking for something with two garages, it's right on Gestapo Circle.
Gestapo Circle, right over here. Yes, sirree. Yeah. Oh, and would you like to? Here's another model we have here. It's the Wehrmacht. The Wehrmacht is one of our really lovely homes that we have here. And
you make it's such just, a great point. No one's ever articulated that in my life in that manner. Like, I get it.
It's the same thing, by the way. And it's not the same thing for a certain group of people. I am not talking solely about African Americans. I'm talking about anybody that's a right-thinking American that knows that we fought this injustice where people were kept to work for free as slaves, and we won. So putting a monument up, if you look at its very basic logic, the atrocities committed with slavery were horrible. And we shouldn't put monuments up.
I do have a question. I do have a question. And
I don't know this.
I lived on Grant Avenue. He was a winner. Don't you know?
I thought it was named after Ed Asner.
By the way, in Manassas, you get a Grant Avenue, but you get a Lee Highway. The bigger road is dedicated to Robert E. Lee.
I thought it was after the Dukes of Hazzard.
But, guys, Robert E. Lee. When was the
Civil War?
1860 to 1865.
Holy shit. Excuse me.
Was it 5 years, Rob?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's 1860.
I thought it was mid-1800s.
What do you think the mid-1800s is?
Yeah, but he got the dates right away.
Yeah, well, he's a smart guy. Sometimes he's got that, but we're gonna fact check.
Let me
double
check that.
It was either 1861 or 1860, but I know it ended in 65.
1861 to 1865. Damn.
Yeah, but things were heating up in
1860.
Well, Abe Lincoln.
Okay, good. Just checking.
No, hold it. No, it was one of the Bushes. I forget which one.
41 or 43?
The Civil War was fought between the northern and southern states from 1861 to 1865.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln was the president of the United States during the Civil War. I'm not signing up. I'm not signing up for your thing. I don't want to say. It's the reality, but just sometimes I really wish that we didn't have the pop-up.
Oh, the pop-up.
I wish whoever interviewed
time.
The pop-up. Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to get some.
Did you tell Michael the dates?
No, I told him it was in the 1800s. I thought it was a couple of centuries ago. Yeah, that's what it was. But, it's the whole thing is absurd. And I'm very thinking about history and war right now, because I happen to have read two novels about World War II. This one I'm reading currently is based on a true story that takes place. It's called The Tattooist of Auschwitz. Auschwitz. It was a New York Times best-selling book, number one New York Times bestseller. And when you get back into that, I think it's so important to remember. Because I think with time passing, when you think of young people, that they just don't put reality to it. I'm old enough to do that. My father fought in World War II, and to think about that type of situation and what
people put up something on Facebook, and I might not get it exactly right, but to the tune of this, it says, "Right now, we are as far away from 1980 as 1980 was from 1940." And I can remember 1980 clearly. I mean, and that's crazy to me that
very
at that
crazy.
Point we hadn't even fought World War II yet. That's the amount of time that we spent, and time seems to be moving a lot faster now.
I guess I have a good way to see to finally, I guess, answer your question, Mike. If when it's gone too far with little Michael, if you go in your backyard and he's dug a trench because he's talking about trench warfare, then there's a problem. Then there's a problem because he's like living the gimmick. He's out there.
I am not lying, Oscar. I don't know whether you've got telepathy, or I swear to you, there is a, he has taken a hoe, a garden hoe, in our, along the property line back here, and he has a bunker back there. It's not like a real bunker, but it is a depression in the ground where he is, where he's playing back there. Well, I mean, sure I that, did I'm, that, though. I did that when I ran around in the woods. By the way, my father was so ready to move on that he brought his rifle back from World War II, brought it into the house, took all the mechanics out of it, and gave it to me as a toy. Mm-hmm, I played in the back. I remember the one time I said, "Dad, what are those squiggly lines out there?" He said, "That's Japanese." It was a Japanese rifle that he used.
Oh, wow.
You were just like, just
by the
like
way, a lot of the GIs over in the South Pacific, when they would win a battle and they would collect the weaponry from the vanquished Japanese soldiers, they would switch over to use their rifles because, shocker, mechanically, they worked better than the American rifles did.
Yeah. And a lot of them were still under warranty, which was great because they had an extended warranty.
100,000-mile warranty?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're not normal. You are not normal. So anyway, should I do – I'm serious. Should
do
I,
not,
I think,
do not hamper
let it run
him
its course, right?
Because, Mike, what is most appealing to children and adults alike is that which is forbidden. So if you make it that
it's
he can't
physical,
do it –
It's also physical, right? So it's not like he's doing – he's not – if his obsession was World of Warcraft right now or something like that, he's on the computer.
Oh, he's playing military video games, too.
Oh. Mm. Well, what kind of military video games?
This is a pandemic. I'm not depriving him of... Okay, yesterday he was showing me World War II bombers where he's got his mother's work phone. That's the one he uses to play.
Yeah, yeah.
And it keeps him occupied. And he's doing the... You know,
oh, so he's like going on bombing runs.
Going on bombing
runs. You got it.
Yeah, like flight simulators. I wonder where he gets that.
I like it, too. I play Call of Duty. I love it.
You know, Mike, you can really turn this.
It keeps me from. I mean, I'm not obsessed with real. I don't have an AK-47 in my house.
That's true.
You know,
and you could turn this into a positive. What you should do is the next time he digs a trench, have him sprinkle some seeds in there.
Yeah.
You can have a nice little garden. Yeah.
No, we don't have
gladiolas.
Time for that. Ain't got time for that. We got.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I'm working with Sunday, our new sponsor, and getting that beautiful lawn of mine.
Get that grass.
So that's what I care about. But everything is going to be fine. Everything's going to be A-okay. So I'm getting from both of you, in all seriousness, the idea that you kind of let it run its course. And,
I think you go through phases. When you're a kid, kids usually pick what they're into, whether it's sports. He's become a history buff. He gets to use his imagination.
Yeah, if my father had stuck around, what if my father had prevented me from watching black and white movies? I'd be a totally different person, probably much less happy. So
you were prohibited from playing. Who was the parent that prohibited you from playing with guns?
No, my dad didn't like guns. So I didn't have toy guns. I guess eventually I did, like when I got a little older. But
would your mother care? I mean, since you were a product of a broken home. When did they leave you?
I think they split when I was in third or fourth.
Third grade.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's still gun age where you can play with toy guns.
I think what happened is that there was not like guns to play with, but my cousin Wes, he had guns and he had cap guns. Mm. And cap guns were the greatest. But then we figured out even better, take the gun out of the equation and just put the caps in the garage and hit them with a hammer.
Smash them.
That's the way to go. Great smell.
So, well, we all know your father didn't like guns when you were a little kid, but he certainly doesn't mind looking at those guns on the internet right now.
That's working overtime.
Howdy, it's Bob. The Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Before I open this, don't get your hopes up too high. I was pressed for time.
No problem.
Max Doctor. There he is. And Elsa.
I'm honored, sir. I'm Dr. Nicholas Van Helsing, professor of proctology
and other related tendencies. Graduate of the University of Rangoon. And assorted night classes at the Knoxville, Tennessee College of Faith Healing.
You may be a little overqualified for this job. You got your equipment with you?
I never go anywhere without it. However, in my particular line of work, I seldom need more than this.
What's up? What's up? Huh? You guys are running 120. Your little lights are flashed all over the place. That's what's up.
We got a patient in there.
Well, there's not a hospital within 50 miles of this place. Where are you headed?
UCLA.
UCLA.
UCLA Medical Center.
L.A. California. Now, this is going to sound like a dumb question, but if she's that sick, why didn't you fly her?
Why didn't we fly her? I'm just a driver. We have to ask the doc. No.
That's a good idea. Why don't we ask the doc?
What's going on out here? What is this crude interruption?
The patient, why can't she be flown to California?
Cysts on the walls of her lungs. Very rare. You see, airplanes are only pressurized at 10,000 feet. Now, anybody knows anything about medicine knows that she can't fly, she has to be driven. Or we couldn't even go through Denver, it's so high.
Is that lady all right?
She's in great pain. Causes her to make certain delirious... tremium.
Larry.
Let me explain something to you. We have to get the senator's wife to California in 72 hours.
We're very close.
Well, as long as you're in New Jersey, I want you fellas to take it easy. You got that?
We sure do.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Hey, play a little Supremes, huh? Is that, or is that Supremes?
No, this is actually, this is Ray Stevens with the song Cannonball.
What do you say? Oh, I was all excited thinking you were going to play the Supremes, and then you're playing a Ray Stevens song.
You love Ray Stevens.
Cannonball?
Yeah, and he did like, he was serious Ray Stevens for Cannonball Run. He wrote real pop records.
God.
The three artists.
We do a whole show on Ray Stevens. I cannot stand Ray Stevens.
The three artists that are really featured on the Cannonball Run soundtrack: Ray Stevens, Lou Rawls, and Chuck Mangione.
Really? Yeah. America. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Glad to have you along on a fabulous Wednesday. It is Wednesday, July 22nd, 2020. If you listen to this years down the road, you'll know we're in the middle of a pandemic.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. We really,
and
really
you
are.
You went on the record yesterday, Mike. You don't like it.
Don't care for it. From Drifton Beach of Port Clyde, Maine, Wanaki, Wisconsin, Winter Haven, Florida, historic Delano in Wichita, Kansas, Berrien, Ontario, Canada, and Tickle Naked Pond in East Reigate, Vermont. Not to be confused with, what was that road you lived on?
Penny Dog Lane.
Penny Dog Lane. Woof. All the boys with their toys and their noise are having going insane. And the boy on Penny Dog Lane. Our show today. It just screams for a song lyric.
It does.
Today's show brought to you by Cornerstone. Let's talk about your mortgage rate. If you're currently, you got to say a 3.25% or higher, you need to call my friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial, and you need to do it today. Right now, 90% of homeowners have rates higher than the average going interest rate. That's a weird statistic. Weird stuff going on here, but you can take advantage of it. Cornerstone First Financial's rates are so low that they've actually become a disruptor in the industry because their rate service and programs are unparalleled. Their low rate guarantee and the fact that they are both a lender and a broker allows them to have the flexibility to approve loans that big banks can't. Interest rates on the 30-year fixed have fallen into the twos for the first time ever. We had a listener just last week raving about Cornerstone First Financial.
Yes.
You need to call my friend Mark Livingstone. Do it now. Cornerstone First Financial. Do it now. Now.
Do it now.
Now. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or online at cornerstonefirst.com. Think of this. At this level, you'll likely never need to refi again, ever.
It's crazy.
So do yourself a favor and call the loan pros for the lowest rate, whether it's a purchase or refi, 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing, and I believe there is a phone call coming from me, although I think I'm not over the 3.25. I got a great rate from Cornerstone, but I think I
You got in at a good, pretty good time. Yeah.
A great rate.
Mm-hmm. I want to get a rate that's insane to buy my house on Penny Dog Lane. Penny Dog. Where's Penny Dog? Where's that copper-colored dog? It's Penny Dog. It's little Penny Dog on Penny Dog Lane.
I always get the Penny Dog. Penny Dog tastes like copper.
Penny Dog. Penny Dog tastes like copper on Penny Dog Lane. Rob Spiewak, you said to me when we began the week that you had good news for Oscar, something relating to last week when I was gone for most of the week.
Oscar, I know that we all limit our trips to any sort of... retail outlets, but you're still occasionally going to CVS, right? It's right across the way. Are you familiar with a brand of a product called Strikes, S-T-R-Y-X?
No, I'm not.
This is great news, Mike, because now CVS is stocking makeup for men.
Strix was started to help guys feel more confident in their own skin and look their best. We started off with a concealer tool here and a tinted moisturizer, which are designed to be really easy to use, but also discreet. Real men can wear makeup. Frank Sinatra, Clark Gable, Marlon Brando, all these guys we think of as classically handsome use makeup to enhance their looks, and there's no reason that you can't. We exist for the guys that want that better looking skin, but also want a quick, easy fix and don't want to shop in the women's aisle, which is why we also designed this to be very discreet, very tool-like.
Very tool-like, Mike. It's very tool-like.
What is the, what's the name of the product again?
Strix. S-T-R-Y-X. And it's not in the ladies' aisle.
All right.
You know who had a hang-up with makeup in history that ultimately destroyed his campaign?
Who?
Richard Nixon.
He didn't like to wear it, right?
Yeah, Richard
Nixon
wouldn't
wear
do it. And
he would have covered up that 5 o'clock shadow that on black and white TV made him look very sinister, correct?
And also
sweaty.
He didn't dress well for television. He wore a gray suit, which was very bland on black and white television, whereas President Kennedy wore, I believe, dark blue, which was more striking. He popped a little more. So, Oscar, is this the time that you're going to announce your presidential run?
So I would say that anyone that's ever come through here and even made fun of men wearing makeup have never had a serious job in broadcasting. And I'll tell you that because I've seen so many men that are broadcasters put on their own makeup, especially during this pandemic.
Yes.
Because there's like a no touch situation where they had to learn how to put their own makeup on.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually been mind blowing on that curve, that learning curve of this is how you have to do it for yourself, because it does help your presence on television. Now we're on a podcast, so I'm going overboard. I got to be honest with you.
You are a little shiny today, Oscar.
Oh, well, I am.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
Just saying.
Maybe I should put a little more on. I'm sorry.
You also have the best camera.
True. Thank you.
Very true.
And the best camera. I mean, I was watching the video yesterday because I got a kick out of the Mac segment that we did.
I watched it too. It was worth watching.
By the way, you didn't check out yesterday's show. Got a great story from Maddie Masiello about the bridge and her bridge phobia. And then somehow we really didn't follow up while Maddie was doing her segment, but Maddie went to a beach on the Eastern Shore, like when she just after she got over the Bay Bridge. And when we were exchanging our text messages yesterday, I really did tell her, in the whole time I lived on the Eastern Shore, I never went to the beach because there wasn't a beach. I mean, there was a beach probably down by the river. But Maddie, are you there? Are you with us?
She is.
I am here. Yes.
Maddie, so when you went to the beach, can I just get a little more specific?
Sure.
I know that geographically this might be. When you got over the Bay Bridge.
Yes.
When that happened, is that when you started to think about looking for a beach area?
Well, the original one we were going to go to, and I forget the name, but we went there, is probably just 10 minutes down the road. We like turned right off of the bridge, and then it was just on that road. But that was at capacity. So they sent us somewhere else, which was a part of some state park. Which was basically if you turned left on the bridge and just went down a little bit more, that's where it was. But that's really the only context I have.
Mike, I want you to entertain a question, if you will. When you say you're going to the beach, especially if you're going over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, does going to a sandy surface near the Chesapeake Bay, not the ocean, but the bay, does that count as a beach?
I am not kidding. I lived on a place called Kent Island, Maryland, which was the eastern shore of Maryland where the Bay Bridge ends. That's where I lived. I went back there. They built thousands of houses there. I couldn't even... It was so overdeveloped when I got there.
How overdeveloped was it?
It was so overdeveloped. I literally, when I went to see my friend George Katrumpas, I could not tell where my home was. I could not tell you where it had been. It was open fields, and you could look over and see. But I mean, I was in a little development, but they built. It had grown so much.
Yeah.
I remember that I would go on the water. I had a boat there. I mean, I did that type of thing. But as far as the idea of bathing in a beach, there was the river. We had the Chester River that was right around there. And yes, Oscar.
I asked Maddie the same question. I'm so happy you asked her. Off air.
Okay.
I said, hey, Maddie, who gave you the name and the location of the beach? Or did you just Google Chesapeake Bay beaches or anything in Maryland? That was the closest thing that came up. And she said...
That is exactly what happened.
Someone told you about you Googled the beach?
Yep, pretty much. And there were a bunch of different options, and they were all kind of in the same area, but I guess they fooled us.
Right. When the beach popped up, did the listing say sponsored?
Because
I should have kept an eye out for that.
Because there's this bit, anybody that's ever looked at real estate anywhere near water, there's always a fun, I would say, line that says your own private port and private beach. And then you look at what is now the future of real estate where you look at what the private beach is and it just looks like a bunch of mud next to water.
There are three of them. Yeah. There are three of them where she was. Maddie, the first one you probably went to was Mattapique Clubhouse and Beach.
Yes, that sounds familiar.
Mattapique Club. It's like going to a pond. But that's how these. I'd never been there all the year I lived, all the years that there was. Did they send you to Terrapin Nature Park?
That's the one we went to with the jellyfish.
Oh, no. There you go. It's open now. Parking is limited.
Great. Let's go.
But so is the beach. So I guess it works well. Look, I've never seen it. It looks okay.
Here's Maddie at the beach, Mike.
Let me see a satellite view of this.
Look at this. I'm trying to get the pictures up here. And I mean, it technically is a beach. But it's like a beach on the bay, and it's not what you think of as. It looks very pretty, Maddie. It actually looks very pretty.
That's deceiving then, because it was not a nice beach.
Yeah, and the jellyfish really should have stayed 6 feet away.
Terrapin Nation Park does not look beautiful. What are you talking about?
Terrapin Nature Park.
I'm sorry, nature.
Absolutely. Terrapin Nation.
No, I'm just thinking of Maryland. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, go Terps.
Okay, by rule. Mike,
is that Hemingway's that you were near? The restaurant Hemingway's?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see any restaurants.
All right, well, there was one.
You were too busy putting hand sanitizer on your jellyfish sting.
Exactly.
That is Hemingway's. It is, Mike. I just zoomed in.
I've been to Hemingway's. I partied at Hemingway's.
How about this? If you were going to drink at Hemingway's, that's what you do on that side
of the
bridge.
That's a cool thing. You got an airport, right? Yeah. You got a local, small airport there. You got yachts that are next door that go out into the Chesapeake Bay. You got the Bay Bridge.
A friend of ours that I haven't talked to in like 5 years, her fiance, now husband, had a boat. Took us to Hemingway's. A wonderful time. Didn't get in the water.
You don't get in the water there. You just don't. I mean, it's just kind of a weird
It's deceiving.
Thing.
It is deceiving because the bridge is there. You're like, look at the bridge.
Yeah, we're at the
beautiful.
Beach.
Beautiful.
You're really still, not at the beach.
No, you're still 2 hours away.
You know, it's like, but by the way, it's kind of similar to even in the great state of Florida. Gulf beaches are beautiful.
Right.
They've got white sand. They're pretty, but there's not a lot of surf. If you really want that beachy, my feeling of beach is surf. That's what I think of as the real beach. And if you want the surf, you go to the East Coast, the Atlantic side. That's where we go if we want a little bit of that. But then, of course, when there's a pandemic and they shut the beaches down in Miami, everybody comes over to the West Coast and gives everybody the COVID over in my county. That's the way it works. But these beaches, I'm looking at a lot of like trees and rocks.
Yeah, in fairness, it's a that side of the Bay Bridge is beautiful.
There's some great waterfront properties there. Yes.
Maybe you want to golf or you want to eat at a waterside restaurant. I don't think it's built for swimming. Just in general. But I would say that, Mike, am I wrong to think that if you were on some sort of watercraft and you wanted to wakeboard or ski, that would be water ski, that would be fun out there?
Yeah, you could water ski.
I would think so.
Right? You could fish.
Yes, yes, yes.
You could watch the water and have a cocktail. I lived there.
Yeah.
We didn't have a, hey, boy, this is a great place to live, because we're like 1 minute from the beach. We never processed it that way.
No. Beautiful sunsets.
But the Chesapeake Bay is obviously a recreational waterway, but the beach, you know, you have to log a few more miles.
When you cross the bridge, it's called the Ocean's Gateway, because it is your entree to so many glistening, shining examples of great beaches, but they ain't there. You have to, but there is a beautiful drive on the Gateway, because you get to see the sights of Easton, Maryland. Cambridge is beautiful, particularly in the fall.
Easton, yes. St. Michael's is a beautiful area on the Eastern Shore. There's some wide open spaces down there. It's very beautiful country. It might be a little overdeveloped, like right after you get over the bridge, because you know, people commute further out now. That's the way it works.
If you continue on 50 to where Route 13 is, you can actually go back into Virginia by going south, and then you get your Chincoteague and Assateague and all the beautiful beaches down there that are really untouched.
Okay. So I mean, give him a travel log.
Let me add this. Is it the buffalo in her?
I think it's the local. It's the not knowing, not local knowledge. You know?
Yeah, but
incidentally, I hate to diss the whole DC area, but one of the great frustration points about being able to really find the ocean from Washington DC
down
the ocean is it's abysmal hassle. It's the greatest hassle in the world. First of all, there's only one area to go. And people go, well, okay, technically you can go to Virginia Beach. Well, nobody goes to Virginia Beach. Except for Pony. Yeah. But Pony, how long does it take you to get to Virginia Beach in the other direction?
If there's no traffic, 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours?
And he can't drive at night.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It's three. Are we going to have timing school after the show's over today? I'm just wondering whether we're going to have to do. There must be some spiwack delay happening today. I'm not sure what's wrong. But Rob, how far does it take to the average drive is what? 3.5-4 hours to get to Ocean City and those beaches, right?
Yeah, I believe that like from D.C. proper to Ocean City is almost exactly 180 miles, and it's mostly highway driving, but it will still take you 4 hours. It'll still take you 4 hours to get there.
Which to me is just, it's, you know, it's a little crazy to have to, you know, haul off and do that. Now, by the way, if you're living in the middle of, you know, Pennsylvania, you're probably saying, well, that's fantastic. I'd love to be that close. No, it's just everybody goes there out of the city, and that's what makes some of these cities frustrating.
And also, the point that to that point, remember, the bridge is actually, I believe, only 5 lanes that go. I mean, that's it. That connect the two sides of the waterway. And everyone goes to the beach at the same time.
Every day.
Yeah, but if you're Maddie's age, like, you don't care about all that. Like, you just want to go to the beach. Now,
I'm trying to think. Maddie, so are you in that mode? We've all been cramped up and we've been quarantining. It's been frustrating. So you're looking for weekend getaways. And by the way, welcome to Washington, D.C., Maddie. That's kind of what we do. We're always going squirrely because the D.C. area is devoid of any sustainable fun.
Even more now.
Yeah, especially now.
Yeah, you have to travel to do that. By the way, great skiing. The best skiing, we have fake skiing around Washington, D.C., but we don't have real skiing. We have these ski resorts that are really not mountains, they're hills, and that's what they have around. If you really want to find a mountain, I guess the closest mountain would be Snowshoe in West Virginia, right? Wouldn't that be the big mountain?
No, you would go. So that's the closest to any type of skiing. You've got Wisp, which is all ice, so that doesn't really work, right?
Like ice.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Like you're on a layer of ice.
I didn't know if they had some sort of outbreak there.
Well, everyone was sharing the same stocking caps.
Massanutten is not. Whitetail is not. None of these places that are close to DC. Ski Liberty. They're hills. They're hills. So you don't have that. And then I'm just giving you the truth. So what you have is in the DC area for fun, and we have to break, but I will get the fun things you have in DC. See are like festivals, like you would have the Renaissance Festival or the Fairfax County Fairs. They're bigger and more important.
Not so now, though.
But you can't have any of that now, so people have to be going bat-ass right now.
Can you imagine living in Manassas, Mike, and facing another summer without the Garcia Brothers Carnival?
Garcia Brothers. The Garcia Brothers Carnival. I completely forgot. There's nothing safer to put a three-year-old on than that chain link merry-go-round that spins, that looks like really you're getting ready to have that chain snap and send your kid from like Leesburg to the mountains of West Virginia. We have to take a break. Anyway, Maddie, we'll keep giving you tutorials.
Please
on
do.
How to have fun
in
the DC
I need to
area.
Learn.
I got through my stay there because I was not a permanent resident and I was a transient by heavy drinking. That's really what I ended up doing.
Never hurts.
While away the hours. We'll take a break. Come back when little things piss me off when we come back on The Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
The Mike O'Mara Show podcast comprises of three extraordinary creatures. Mike O'Mara, who has currently migrated to the state of Maine from Florida. He is the star of the show, a spectacular impressionist, and is considered a radio god. Rob Spiewak. He resides in the royal suburbs of Virginia. He is the jester or the funny man of the show, a massive Elvis fan, and he still thinks it's 1946. And finally, Oscar Santana. Born in the outskirts of La Paz, Bolivia, and currently resides in a luxurious wardrobe in Washington, D.C. He is the hip, Latin flavor of the bunch, who loves the latest trends and technology. Put these three together, and you get the brilliant Mike O'Mara Show podcast. Don't forget to go to MikeOmaraShow.com and subscribe to their bonus show. You can hear them say, motherfucker. And bye-bye.
Wow. Interesting. It is. I liked hearing that once. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Harry's. Do you ever wonder, by the way, I put my Harry's order in last night.
Good.
I finally remembered to do it. You ever wonder how much you could save in just 1 year by switching to Harry's? Let me tell you this. You could save enough to pay for 6 months of your Netflix subscription. Not too shabby, right? But how do they do it? It's because Harry's delivers high-quality razor blades for as low as $2 each, a fraction of the price of the leading brand. I can't stress enough when it comes to Harry's how proud I am to have certain relationships on this show. And the fact that we've been doing Harry's commercials and getting our listeners to buy wonderful Harry's products for as long as we have, because we do stand by them. They're fantastic. Yes. And they're high quality, and you're not going to look back after you start. Just like when we got them as a client, that was the first time. That was the first time. I said, here, try these products. And I fell in love with them, and I've loved them ever since. And I'm not talking just their razors. I'm talking about their shave gel and their face wash and their body wash. Mm-hmm. And they have shampoo, and they're fantastic. And they have face lotion, and they've got wonderful ergonomic handles, and you're going to love them. By the way, 1% of proceeds from Harry's, if you buy a Harry's product, are set aside for nonprofit organizations devoted to helping provide access to better health care for men and veterans. Our listeners can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/TMOS. You get the weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a five-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to protect your razor. Go to harrys.com/TMOS to start shaving better today. And thanks to them, we love that association. I never get tired of telling people about Harry's. During a pandemic, when people are dealing with life and death issues, and we are all in a bit of a malaise dealing with this because no one knows what the future holds. And in certain areas of the country, it's horrible. By the way, Maine yesterday got turned red for a while, even though the numbers are a lot smaller. It's scary to look at. And of course, my state of Florida, where the teachers union is suing the governor and about opening school too early. And you have a governor who's scaring us because he doesn't seem to be responding, and he's getting heckled at news conferences. And you get Arizona, where hospitals are capacity, in California, that's talking about shutting down again. This is a terrifying time and just an unsettled time. So when I have a little bitty bitch, I probably should shut up. All right. I should just keep it to myself. I really shouldn't say a word about it, but I can't help myself. Because
you need to.
Here's the deal. You get tired of cooking and you can't go into a restaurant. Well, you can, I suppose, if you want to. We choose as a family not to, unless right. it's outside or a drive-through window. So we are probably enjoying bad food, but because it's a drive-through window, we're doing that more. I talked about KFC.
Sure.
I talked about other ones. So not a lot of options in the wilds of Maine where we are, but it would seem to me that the fine people at Dairy Queen, I would like to offer a compliment. Years and years ago, we had in the great state of Florida, Dairy Queen just down the street. And I'm going to tell you something because I mean it. After all these years, they still serve what I consider to be one of the finest simple hot dogs money can buy. I think it's terrific. If you buy a chili cheese dog at Dairy Queen, I just don't think you're going to be disappointed. I think it's a fine product. I think it's solid, and it's a real, real go-to. So, yes, Rob.
And you know what's amazing? What's amazing, it's not even in the name. It's like their secret weapon. They don't even mention the fact that they do hot dogs and food like that. Dairy Queen, you think ice cream, but they've still got that in. They've got that quiver. They've got that arrow in their quiver. The greatest hot dog out there.
It would be the standard foodstuff of a Dairy Queen. So yesterday, we go into town after I do the show. We go into town. Carla's been very proud of me for successfully installing the faucet.
Oh, yeah.
I figured out how to do the little stopper thing.
Oh, you did the thing?
Nice. I finally got the right ratchet, and I was able to lock it down and get that. By the way, it's one of the worst mechanical engineering feats in modern history. When you look at the stopper, the thing that makes it go up and down. So it's off to town, and Carla says to me, what are you in the mood for? I'm like, well, there are not many options, Carla. There really aren't. We can go to this one place or this one place. I said, why don't we go to Big Sandwich?
Ooh.
That's the name of the place. Big Sub, I think it's called. Or it's called Ellsworth Sandwiches. But I think it's the sign says Ellsworth Big Sub Sandwiches.
Ooh.
And it's got it's got an egg salad sandwich to die for. All right. So we roll in there.
People need to know that when you go into town, this is not going across the street. This is an investment.
It's a 20-minute ride.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an hour. It's an hour back and forth. No big deal. So we go into town, and it's about 25 minutes in, 25 minutes out. And, you know, what are you laughing at?
I really thought Ellsworth, and this is my reference to time and space, I thought it was like 10 in and 10 out. For some reason.
No, it's a long ride.
It's 20 if you're hauling.
Okay, wow.
It's about 20 if you're hauling. And if you're getting back of one of those, by golly, if you're getting back one of them pre-huggers in a Subaru, you might as well set aside 45 minutes to get your ass into Ellsworth. While you've got a 90-year-old woman who's who's got coexist on the back of her car that's going 14 miles an hour in a goddamn car, and it's frustrating. You know, Jesus Christ. My God, ma'am. You know, I mean, and by the way, all those people play traffic cop too. Yo-ho! Don't come to a complete stop. Yes. Hi, Tina. Everything's good. Now, Tina drives a pickup truck.
Yes, she does. Yes,
I've seen her up here. I believe she drives a pickup.
Yo-ho!
Thank you. And how sad was it that they canceled the 4th of July parade and I couldn't get my taken with
Don't even get me started on that.
It's rough.
Very sad. So you go in there and Carla says, you know, I really don't feel like a sandwich. I'd like to get, you know what? You got one of those chili dogs. I said, I lived on them. I gained a ton of weight, but I lived on them because they were so yummy, yummy in my tummy. And so I get the egg salad at the Big Ellsworth Sandwich. My life is so pathetic right now. It's not even funny. I really just an incredible, I'm an incredible gourmet. I know my life is pathetic.
So I got the egg salad.
Yeah, that's what I got.
It's the greatest in the world.
What kind of bread?
It's like the long version of the hot dog roll they put a lobster roll on.
Oh, okay. Very good.
It's tasty.
Egg salad and lobster?
Carlo, see, you're not paying attention. I know you get bored with food. Focus on the show.
I don't know enough about it.
It's an egg salad sandwich on a sub roll. Okay. That's what it is, basically, but it's yummy, yummy.
What's in egg salad? I don't know. I've never had one before.
Excuse me?
No.
It
sounded gross to me, so I've never tried it.
You have never had...
Not in my life.
That's a threefer from the audience. You have never had an
explains a lot, doesn't it?
Egg salad sandwich?
You'll never find egg salad, Mike, on Penny Dog Lane.
Okay. All right, we have to take a break. I will come back and I will tell you about something truly horrible that happened. I didn't know. If you had told me, Mike, this will be two breaks, I would have said, you're full of Thank you. Anyway, we'll take a break. And we'll explain, Jesus Christ, what an egg salad sandwich is to Oscar. And by the way, I think he might love it, Rob.
Oh, I think he would, too. It's right at his flavor level.
It is in his wheelhouse. He'll make one today.
He should have one for lunch.
But he has to make it himself. We'll be right back.
If the autumn wind is a pirate, then 2020 is a hurricane. The approaching eye gives us a window of opportunity for baseball to return. What's normally a 162-game marathon is now going to become a 60-game sprint, and you don't want to miss a game. So let's prepare for this baseball binge-watching by updating your man cave. Go to MichaelMareShow.com, click on the Team War Shopping Center, and click on Walmart. They have everything you're going to need. Big screen TVs, coffee tables, a new couch, chip bowls, beer mugs, a mini refrigerator, and even a portable urinal so you don't have to miss an inning. So no matter who you're rooting for, get everything you need for this mini baseball season through the Walmart tab at the Team War Shopping Center. And now, back to the guy who's still a Sox fan, even though they wouldn't hire him to be their spring training public address announcer, Mike O'Mara.
Thank you. I was pissed about that too, pal. Thank you. You know this show, and I love your delivery. I don't know why, but I love it.
I know, right?
Here is a fact. Dehydration occurs daily in 3 out of 4 people, but with Liquid IV, you have the fastest, most efficient way to stay hydrated. Each serving helps you get as much hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. Plus, it's backed with potassium, vitamin C, and other vitamins to help your body defend against an infection. And if you go and have a little too much evening, let me tell you something. Slug down a little of that Liquid IV to feel better. It'll help you. Proper hydration can boost your immunity, too. One serving of Liquid IV provides 5 essential vitamins, more vitamin C than an orange, and as much potassium as a banana. I love it. It's great. Tastes great. Liquid IV is donating 2.3 million servings due to COVID-19. Liquid IV is being sent to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military. Way to go, Liquid IV. Liquid IV available nationwide at Costco and Target, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code TMOS at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. So get better hydration today at liquidiv.com. Promo code TMOS. Yes, Rob Spiewak.
Hot breaking news from my daughter Julia. She's on her way to work in downtown Leesburg today, and for the first time in front of the City Hall, no Confederate statue was taken down yesterday. So, attaboy. Good
Who was
riddance.
It? Lee Mosby?
No, I believe it was, if memory
Haley
serves.
Haley Barber?
It was a generic salute to the Confederate soldier. I don't think it was anyone in particular. But that's a big step. So congratulations, Leesburg, for making the right choice.
A lot of that going on now, but a lot of people,
We'll have
so
to put
getting
that
back
in
to the, thank you for that, Julia. We appreciate that. Regarding the egg salad, you have never...
No.
You have never enjoyed an egg salad sandwich.
It's a culinary blind spot, Mike.
It is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know. I am sure there are plenty of people that don't like them. But
yeah.
I would say that the simplicity of it and the deliciousness of it. You like eggs?
Yes. So tuna salad took me a long time to get past for a long time.
Like get used to?
I was like, fine, I'll have some tuna salad. Right. But my mom never really went out of her way to make either tuna salad or egg salad.
All right, egg salad to me is one of the when you go to a party, have you ever had a deviled egg?
Yes, I'm not a fan of deviled eggs.
Like egg salad then.
No.
But would you say that as a rule, egg salad is more agreeable than tuna salad? Cuz it's blander.
Well, he doesn't know egg salad. He's never had egg salad. Are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm just on a scale of
egg salad over tuna salad any day of the week.
I had deviled eggs for the very first time when I was 32.
And you didn't care for it.
I was like, there's a lot going on here. A lot too
Rob,
much.
How many deviled eggs would you eat at a party if they were put out?
If they're put out, three or four halves, I would say. Yeah, absolutely.
They're delicious. I'm a fan. You got to like
smoked
eggs.
Paprika
gotta,
on top.
Aren't,
nice.
Aren't they appetizers, right?
Yeah. They're appetizers. Yeah. And they're yummy. Love it. What the combination we're talking about is mayo and egg. That's what mustard. Now you're putting your hand up
little,
like maybe you don't
mustard.
So it the ones that I saw and I had the mayo, and maybe that's what I'm not a big mayonnaise guy.
Well, they mix
guy.
The yolk with the mayo.
Yeah,
that's
I'm not
what
a big mayonnaise man.
Oh, you're not. Oh, so God. You're a toddler when it comes to food. Come on.
What,
why don't you
you're
like
an
mayonnaise?
Adult if you love mayonnaise?
I think I mayo. Have, there's I a lot have, of people. There are certain people that don't like mayonnaise, and I get it. And then there are other people like you that just were little kids, and you liked your little pizza rolls, and that's the stuff that
like,
you ate.
I like mayo, and like if mayo and ketchup are available, I'll mix that for my fries. But
all right.
You know,
well,
but I don't go mixing, out. I don't go out of my way to find mayo.
By the way, people, Oscar, treat yourself. Mix mayonnaise with barbecue sauce. Now you're talking.
Really?
Yes. That's mayonnaise the sauce they serve. I have, that's the sauce they serve with fries at Red Robin.
Yeah. Well, think about So
Red Robin.
It's funny you bring this up because yesterday on Big O and Duke's, Chad brought up a story where is it the Heinz ketchup company is now
Heinz?
I'm sorry. Putting out multiple incarnations of mayo and barbecue put together, like already in the
premixed,
and then mayo.
Who brought that up?
Chad Dukes. And Chad hates, Big Shooter hates mayo. He's hated mayo ever since I've known him.
See, that's another toddler. You both are toddlers. That's why you probably bind together.
Yeah, but
because, you like your little things the way you like them. And, there was not a heavy-handed parental presence saying, you should try this.
I would say that I don't have disdain for mayo because mayo is, well, I've been told.
Do you put mayonnaise on a sandwich?
No. I'm a mustard guy.
Oh, wow. My God.
Mustard has less calories.
Much less calories. Many less calories.
It doesn't do a thing for tomatoes. And you need mayonnaise for tomatoes.
All right. Here it is. Matty Masiello, egg salad, yay, nay?
Yay.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew she's got a sophisticated palate. Yep. She's a foodie. Mm. She was raised by a food family. Of course, yep. You're going to. Pony Boy Matt Bloom, egg salad.
Nay. I'm not a mayonnaise guy. I only like mayonnaise in a tuna salad.
Okay. All right. Have you ever had egg salad?
I have. Just didn't care for it.
You know what? His logic is flawed.
You're
because
flawed.
If he has mayonnaise, no, you're flawed. If you have mayonnaise and tuna salad, why wouldn't you have mayonnaise and egg salad? Pony, do you eat eggs?
I do like eggs, just for whatever reason.
It's flawed.
You caught me.
Aha.
I'm not going to ask you to make it. It sounds like, Oscar, if I asked you to make it, or if I was there, if you were in my house, I'd make it for you, and I'd put it on white bread, like Wonder Bread, and
soft.
I would give you with nothing else, with no lettuce or anything, and just say, try this, see what you think, and you probably would hate it.
It's unhealthy, correct, egg salad?
It's not the healthiest thing you can eat.
It's loaded with protein.
Well, it is.
But it's loaded with fat as well.
It can be.
A steak and cheese loaded with protein.
Wonderful.
Steak. Would you put on steakums? Would you put mayo on a steakum?
So this is, and be ready to be discussed, American. I'm sorry.
All right.
Anytime they're like, any steak place, any steak and cheese place, like, do you want it the house way? And I'm like, does the house way include mayonnaise?
Oh,
and they're
okay.
Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Hold the mayo. Please put
so
ketchup on my steak.
He hasn't missed anything by missing eggs. I don't think it's worth the energy to give him that. But it's a great egg salad. Is fantastic.
Well, I'm willing to try it now if you all love it so much. As a reason.
But I just don't think you'll like it. But I would. And also, you got to kind of get it either homemade. Here's the thing about great big super sandwich. Bad sign that I don't even know what the name of the joint is. They make their egg salad. After you order it, they have hard-boiled eggs there, and they make it fresh, and it's fantastic. And that's something you eat fresh. But the whole story I started that I have to wrap up with this,
please,
is that Mrs. O'Mara decides she wants a chili dog, and with this fasting thing, Mrs. O'Mara has been losing weight and occasionally having a bad meal, and still doing fine because of the fasting thing is working. The intermittent fasting is working, and she's very happy with it. So chili dog, no problem. Goes into the Dairy Queen. The truck hasn't come with the hot dog.
Oh,
what?
No.
Come
you
on.
You have one staple, Dairy Queen. You have one staple.
You had one job.
That you are to serve people and you don't have it. And I say, shame, shame, shame on you, because it's a hot dog. This is not like something they had to slaughter in the morning. This is something you keep in the meat locker until 2028 without any problem, for Christ's sake. You're serving chili dogs. By the way, Carla went inside with a mask on, did not wait in the 12-car line where they were probably getting every other car.
We don't have hot dogs because the truck didn't come. We decided we're too lazy to put a sign out and say no hot dog.
The 17-year-old sees her coming in with a mask. He says, oh, here comes Karen. Wow.
Supply chain problem.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, same thing about trying to get a plumber around here, you know, in the land of effort. Anyway, it's true. That's why, but makes you more self-sufficient, which is a good thing.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll take a break when we come back. News you may not need. Oscar, if you get a chance, I would love you to try an egg salad
sandwich.
Okay,
maybe it's the name in Spanish. And Ensalada de huevos does not sound appetizing.
No, it sounds like something with your testicles. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with, with more on the Mike O'Mara And now with King's Things, Larry. Here's Larry.
I got a lot of respect for people who understand calculators. The Masked Singer makes me gassy. I never kissed a plumber. I have no idea how she got there, officer. I always forget about Ohio. Weird. The interior of my car still smells like salad dressing. I don't have any fingernails. If you want funny, you want the TMOS bonus show. Go to MichaelMaryShow.com. Use your mouse. Buy it. It's good. Okay?
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Freshly. We've all spent a lot of time at home in the past few months. A lot. And at first, it was kind of fun cooking at home.
Sure.
Well, now, if you're like a lot of people and me, you're plenty tired of cooking all around the clock. Enough! Enough with this pandemic. Listen to what Freshly can do for you. Freshly understands that food needs to be delicious, healthy, simple, and easy to prepare. With Freshly, you can avoid the grocery store and enjoy fully prepared dinners, delivered fresh, not frozen, right to your door. God, it's good stuff. Mm. Freshly's chefs and nutritionists do all the hard work. All you do is heat for 3 minutes and dinner is done. It is that quick and easy. Just choose a plan that works for you and take a break from all that cooking. Too hot anyway. And one of the things about this pandemic, I think a lot of people, I've read articles about it, are exhausted and don't want to sit there at the end of their day and deal with this. Whether you crave comfort foods, feel better foods, or something from your personal home bistro, Freshly has what you want every time. You're going to love Freshly. Join the almost 1.5 million satisfied Freshly customers and skip the shopping, the prepping, the cooking, the cleanup. Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off their first two orders at Freshly.com/TMOS. Don't wait. That's Freshly.com/TMOS.
News.
Boo. News put out a list of 20 surprises from Alex Trebek's memoir, The Answer Is.
Okay.
And we got five highlights for you. Alex Trebek, by the way, battling pancreatic cancer. And we've always been kind of obsessed. And Jeopardy was such a big deal last year with all that, with what's his name, the Brainiac that was on there. Here's the Holzhauer. First thing from his book. James Holzhauer. Alex said he thought he needed a vice so that people wouldn't think he was judging them. So he started interjecting curse words into his vocabulary.
Hey!
Now, we have a kind of a pirated, unauthorized tape of Alex. We could probably play it, from years ago.
I'll try to dig it up.
He's cussing all over the place and sounds like this. He didn't become one of the guys, though. Instead, he just came off as a jerk. Well, he sounds like a jerk on this tape where he's doing some tape messages and he's using profanity. So he traded cursing for drinking. This is from his book, The Answer Is, but he still doesn't think, he doesn't drink all that much. He said, quote, occasionally I'll have a glass of Chardonnay, but my drink of choice is low-fat milk. It's become a habit. I drink low-fat milk and Chardonnay, but not together.
Oh.
So that's Alex Trebek. Alex had an unexpected encounter with pot brownies at a party back in the day. He said, quote, the host said, go ahead, help yourself. I had four or five of them. I did not realize they were hash brownies. I'm developing an Alex Trebek as we go on right now. The party was on a Friday night. The drugs knocked me out so much I spent the weekend laid out in their guest bedroom. And I didn't leave their home until Monday morning. Talk about embarrassment.
Embarrassing. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Moving right along, Alex made one big change to Jeopardy early on. He made it so that the contestants couldn't ring in until after he'd finished reading the clue. I didn't know that was his, but he did that.
I watched actually on Monday night, and it was a ratings juggernaut, apparently. They ran the first episode of Jeopardy from 1984. The first Alex Trebek hosted Evening Jeopardy.
Yeah, you mentioned
that. It was so annoying. It was really frenetic. And one of the reasons the pacing was so jumbled is that these guys, the game was easier then, for one thing. They would ring in right away, betting that they would know the answer before he read it. So the pacing was all off. When you talk to people like Holzhauer or all the people that have done amazing work on Jeopardy, timing is now a big deal to ring in as soon as he finishes reading the clue. That's right. As much as knowing the answer. But that was not an issue in the first season. It's crazy
that's
to watch.
That's why you see them all
hitting that button kind of crazy.
Yeah. But anyway, he's the one that said you have to wait till the clue is read before you can buzz in. Wow. So it's kind of interesting. His wife, Jean, is 24 years younger than he is. That is disgusting.
Jean Trebek.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Dying men marrying young women. And he remembers, by the way, somebody's going to hear that and say, hey, Mike, that's not fair. My wife's 21 years younger than I am, so I'm making a joke. I hate to explain humor, but there it is, okay, for those of you, because they're people that join us all the time, want to make sure they get it. Anyway, his younger wife, Jean, remembers when he first met her dad, he took one look at Alex and said, quote, this is funny, I guess I won't be calling you son. And five, Alex has an unorthodox approach to breakfast. He said, quote, for years, my breakfast of choice was a Snickers and a Diet Coke. Then my doctor lectured me about changing that, so now it's a Kit Kat and a Diet Pepsi.
What is diabetes, Alex?
What is diabetes? Major League Baseball launching an interactive feature. I think I might like this for when their season starts, even though their marketing is such crap, I couldn't tell you as a baseball
when
fan what's
are.
Happening, yeah. when it's happening. This is the feature. You can boo, cheer, or clap along to games from home, and scorekeepers at the ballparks will adjust the crowd noise accordingly. It sounds crazy, but we're at the anything for a little normalcy stage right now, and that's what they're going to do with
right
baseball.
From home.
I'm not sure how they're going to do
great.
It.
That's great, and if
home.
That works, they're going to do the same thing on the NBC Evening News.
There it is. Yes. Oh, if only it had Brian Williams on it. So, right? Yeah, I couldn't boo old Lester, but, with old, Brian. A new poll asked people to name the top traits of a modern man who's truly comfortable with the current era we are in. Here are the top 10 signs you are a modern man. Number one, you do your fair share of the cleaning. I wouldn't fall into that category, so I'm not modern in
that.
I
keep myself clean.
No, you're a cleaner, right? Don't you clean in your home?
I clean.
Don't you do most of the cleaning?
I would say at least half.
Yeah, you're a stay-at-home dad. You know?
Yeah.
I wash dishes occasionally, but not enough.
I don't think cleaning, this is coming from a guy that, that's not my work, that's not my job, but coming from a guy that doesn't have to do it, if I had to do it, I don't think it makes you a modern man and you're just helping out. And it goes both ways.
And besides, to clean your house, you just clean Oscar's house, just run back and forth twice holding a Swiffer.
By the way, we were having the birthday party. I vacuumed and I cleaned some of the floor. About half the floor is in the house.
Excellent, excellent.
That's what I did. Number two, you talk openly about your feelings. I do that. Do you do that, fellas? Do you talk openly?
No, I don't think it's important.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Oh, I do it all the time, constantly. Yeah.
Carl, like, I feel really? Like you're ignoring me.
Carla, I'm sensitive.
Carla, I feel like egg salad.
Carla just looks at me and says, "Go to bed, Nancy." Number three, if your boss or manager was a woman, you'd be totally fine with it.
Oh, I'd kill for it.
It'd yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Got a problem with that. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. No, I wouldn't care either. I'm sorry. Number four, you're okay discussing your mental health.
Oh, of course. Of course. Excuse, what, Charlie? What, Charlie?
I don't know. I don't know when I'm talking like this.
Yeah, it's hard to read. I have to talk about it because I'm so hard to read.
Thank you.
No, but you keep it to your you keep it yourself. Hat,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
you don't talk.
I compartmentalize.
If you're unhappy, just you and yourself know about it.
That's all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We know that because your wife told us. All right, here we go. Let's see. You're a good listener.
What?
I probably am not a good listener. I'm not that good a listener. Probably.
I would say I'm a good listener.
Yeah. Bob. I think we're all good listeners. And Mike, I think you're a better listener than you give yourself credit for.
Thank you. That's very nice of you. You're great with kids. I am definitely great with
kids. I'm fantastic with kids.
Mm-hmm. I hate children.
Thank you. You're totally openly affectionate. I am openly affectionate.
Yeah, I don't mind telling people. I love
think
them.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You'd be fine being a stay-at-home dad. Well, you know, Rob, you are kind of a stay-at-home dad, and so am I, really. You don't always feel the need to put on a brave face.
Oh, that's BS.
No, I don't.
I need to.
You do all the time?
No, as best I can.
And I've gotten, that's changed in me lately. Like, and we've discussed this, Mike. I cry so much more than I used to. I just cry.
You cried before the show, right? We had to get you some tissues.
I cried during that talk about Maddie and the bridge. It was so sad.
Okay, you stand up against racism and prejudice.
Yes.
I don't do it as much as I should, but I have done it, and I'd like to do it more. So that's you know, that's what we do.
So we're modern men now.
Yeah, I think so. Modern.
Yeah, that's an interesting list. There's some stuff on there, but that's, I think, a way of maybe telling people to stand up. They should. Mm-hmm. This sounds about right. A new study found that if you enjoy making people feel angry or embarrassed, you're more likely to be addicted to social media. Researchers at Michigan State and Cal State Fullerton tracked the activity of 472 college students on Facebook and Snapchat.
Snapchat. Is he going to get to the social media with the Snapchat?
Twitter.
And the ones who were most addicted were more likely to be aggressive and do things like cyberbullying. Their conclusion was that social media platforms are basically set up to, quote, cater to people who seek rewards from being cruel.
Mm.
They also found the average college student uses Facebook for 2 hours and 15 minutes a day and Snapchat for 2 hours and 38 minutes a day.
Aha.
I see. I mean, I think that's what it's there for. Anonymous bullies that want to be mean. I think it's one of the
greatest things about it, probably. That's how they market it.
Thank you. And now a little something. A 51-year-old woman near Detroit named Wendy Ween, or Wendy Wine, wanted to kill her ex-husband, so she searched online and found a website called rentahitman.com.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
The entire site is a joke. It claims to have 18,000 hitmen stationed around the country, that it's headquartered at the Mar-a-Lago Club, and that the company recently had to cut ties with the Illuminati and Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, no.
It's a fake. It also brags about being HIPAA compliant, which they say stands for the, quote, Hitman Information Privacy and Protection Act of 1964. She thought it was real.
What a dumbass.
She fell for it, filled out a request form detailing how she wanted her ex-husband killed. Then whoever runs the site saw the request come through and called the cops. They set up a sting in a parking lot and arrested her when she offered an undercover cop $5,000 for the hit, plus travel expenses. She's facing charges for solicitation to commit murder. If you want to do it, if you want to know the real information on a real hitman, just call Gary Spiewak. It's very, very easy. You'll be all set with that.
Yeah, and not only HIPAA compliant, but the good housekeeping seal, Mike.
Yeah, very good.
My husband's always barefoot. Any slippery surface may kill him.
That's right. She was upstairs buttering the kitchen.
We'll be right back with the audio vault.
This is Las Vegas legend Wayne Newton, and I love you. There are a few things in life that I require: peace, joy, and of course, convenience. That's why I like to listen to TMOS on Spotify.
No matter where I am in my downtown apartment visiting the Guinea Hens at Casa de Shenandoah or on stage at the Sands, I know that my favorite TMOS troublemakers are just a few taps away. So remember, every night when your tuxedo hits the floor and you want some solid, marvelous entertainment, get your cellular telephone and grab some TMOS on Spotify. Just another great way to be a part of America. I wish you love.
Thanks, Wayne. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by the TMOS Patron Society. Here at TMOS, we hate to ask, we hate to take. Basically, we're givers. I think that's true. We like to give. But the fact is, we need your help. And here's how you can do it. It's the TMOS Patron Society. We need you to go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the Patron Society banner and make a pledge to TMOS. $1, $5, $10 a week, doesn't matter to us. Anything you can do, we'd really appreciate it. TMOS needs you, and you can make a difference, because if you're there for us, we'll be here for you. If you can contribute, please do. Your support means the world to us now more than ever. No jokes. We appreciate you, and we thank you.
Thank you.
And please do what you can. That's what we're doing during these tough times. Now, without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for TMOS on July 22nd, everybody.
I found this fascinating because this does not sound like the guy who it is. This is a tape from 1966. It's a demo that's going to be auctioned off this week. See if you can figure out who's singing here.
I know how you feel this way. You think you're going to run around.
Elvis Presley.
No.
It was recorded in
1966. It was recorded in 1966. It was before he was Ziggy Stardust. This is a young, struggling David Bowie as a pop singer.
I never would have gotten it. Never in a million years.
Sound like him.
I know. The song is called I Do Believe I Love You. When his struggling days in London, they will actually be auctioning that tape off.
I Do Believe I Love You on Penny Dog Lane.
Penny Dog Lane. Is in my ears and in my eyes.
Penny Dog Lane.
a successful singer is called Luke Bryan. And of course, he has a chocolate lab and his name is Chalk. And he's going to prank him by tossing him a tomato instead of a tennis ball. This is what Luke Bryan is putting on Instagram.
Chalk stares at me eating. I'm going to play a prank. Chalk, you're going to get pranked. You ready? We'll see if you like tomatoes.
The dog spit out the tomato. Ha ha ha. And here's the thing. Chalk is smarter than Luke Bryan because tomatoes are poisonous to dogs. So, Luke, stop tossing tomatoes to your dog, you idiot.
Tomatoes are poisonous to
dogs? I didn't
know
that.
Yeah, they're not
chocolate.
Good for dogs. No, chocolate is bad.
I thought it was grapes and chocolate.
Grapes are bad. Tomatoes are bad. You can't just, you know what? Feed dogs dog food. That's what's bad.
Frankie, BLTs today.
I'd love a BLT.
Damn it. And also,
not egg salad, though.
And not mayonnaise on the BLT.
No. Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that Luke Bryan looks at his dog and says, I'm going to prank you. I'm going to prank you.
I know you don't like him.
Not a fan.
I know you're not.
Here, let's do two more here. In Wisconsin, here's an easy way to make money. You know, because no one's using cash during the pandemic, because a lot of stuff is going on online. And even when you're at a store, people don't want to exchange money. There's a coin shortage in America. People are not using the coins. A bank in Wisconsin is giving you 5%. Bonus if you sell them your change.
This is something new, and it's interesting. I really didn't expect coin shortage to be one of them that we have to deal with. We're buying it off of the Fed. We might as well just pay our local people instead and kind of cut out the middleman. It's $5 for every $100 worth of coin brought in. So, for example, my parents brought in $218 in coin. They got $228 back.
So if you roll up your coins and take them to this bank, you're going to get a 5% bonus just for handing in your money. That's not bad.
That's fantastic.
Where's the bank?
It's in Wisconsin, but you know, other banks could follow suit if the coin shortage continues.
Well, I can't drive to Wisconsin.
How many coins do we think? I don't think my mom has a bunch of coins, but I don't have.
I don't think it's much of a thing anymore, because it used to be, you know, you'd come home and you like take the change out of your pocket and throw it in a jar or something. But there are people, I'm sure, that have lots of coins, and now with Coinstar, they'll count it for you. So it's crazy. You can just bring in a bucket of change.
I hope more banks do it. More, if a bank did it, I'd gather up my coins,
I would
put them back in circulation.
Yeah.
Make sure you lick them first.
It tastes like Penny Dog Lane.
Mm-hmm. Penny Dog Lane on Penny the tip of my tongue.
And we close with Conan last night. He said he's overwhelmed with all the charts and graphs and information we're getting because of the coronavirus. So Conan gave us a list of charts and statistics that may prove helpful in these days.
There's been a 60% increase in people eating morning lasagna. Check this out. A 550% increase in women named Karen going by their middle name. There's an 80% increase in rooting for the Sharks during Shark Week. Hey, 75% increase in board game-related stabbings. A 600% increase in adults overheard yelling, "Hope your haircut was worth it, Dad."
So everyone is now rooting for the Sharks. I love that. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
Thanks for joining us for another perfect episode of TMOS. Don't forget, we are dying to hear from you. Messages for the weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with two Bs at MikeOmeraShow.com. Our mailing address is TMOS Post Office Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. Need assistance?
Call me boys
at MikeOmeraShow.com. If you can lend your support, please click our Patron Society banner at MikeOmeraShow.com. It means more than you know. Thank you for listening and join us again next time for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOmeraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Now get home safely. Good night.
It's been a good day. My God, what a good day for mankind.
So we're running out of wax, so and tape and all that jazz. Let's say goodbye, huh? Shall we?
Bye bye.